Hey love, my name is Brittany Pollard and you are now rocking with the Everyday Intentions podcast, your source for real conversation centered around stepping into your personal power, one intention at a time. This podcast is all about owning our voice, taking up space, expressing ourselves, and moving through life at our own pace. You are invited to the magic. So let's roll. What's up, my people? Welcome back to the Everyday Intentions podcast. You are now listening to episode number 4, Breaking the Stigma of Therapy with Terrence Stewart. Terrence is a Los Angeles, California-based associate clinical social worker, and he has a background in psychotherapy, psychiatric social work, and he is also the owner of T-Raw Naturals, which is a natural product line that promotes health and wellness. Terrence's most important value is helping and inspiring others to flourish into their full potential. His mission as a social worker is to utilize his skills to break the stigma around mental health in the Black community by normalizing mental health treatment. This episode was so valuable, and I truly appreciated the way Terrence came onto the show and broke down some really important topics. Some of the things that we spoke about on this show were the importance of creating and evolving with your self-care practice and breaking the stigma of therapy in the Black community. We spoke about different mental and emotional triggers Black men experience and the importance of representation and finding community. Terrence had a wonderful way of making the information accessible. For those of you who tune into the Everyday Intentions podcast, you know the goal of this show is to really create transformation on an individual level, and it's really for people to adopt the things that we speak about and kind of get their wheels turning in their mind to see how they can integrate different changes or different practices into their own life. I thank you so much for tuning in. I really believe that this is a wonderful episode. I'm really excited for you to hear the information. Thank you for being here with us today. Here goes the episode. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Everyday Intentions podcast. My name is Brittany and I am your host. And today on the show, I am so excited, y'all, because I have my friend Terrence here. Terrence and I mean, we met way back in high school, but it was kind of one of those things where you follow along with someone's journey through social media. And so him and I have only come together, I think maybe like once in the last 4 or 5 years for a yeah. birthday party. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were randomly chatting and he showed some love to the podcast and listened in. And I just knew that I wanted to have him on because like his story is amazing and I just want to hear more about it. So without further ado, Terrence, I would love for you to just introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? First of all, Brittany, thank you for having me on this podcast. It's a great opportunity and a great space you're allowing me. And so I appreciate that. My name is Terrence Stewart. I'm an associate clinical social worker in the state of California. I am also a psychotherapist and a psychiatric social worker. So I'm currently working on a few things, just more personal stuff, trying to get my hours to become licensed. And that's pretty much on a professional level where I'm at right now. Again, thank you for having me. And that's kind of my little spiel of about who I am professionally.
Cool. And then you also have your beard care line too.
Oh, let so that's what know. I was like. I was like, okay, let me give my little my resume.
Nah, plug it all. Yeah, plug it all.
For sure. So I do have a natural product line called T-Raw Naturals. I started that about October 2017. The natural product line is pretty much something that derived from me having alopecia and folliculitis and being prescribed a bunch of medications and not wanting to take those medications and finding a more natural approach for those ailments and the autoimmune disease, which have been working pretty good the last couple of years. So I was like, why not spread the love and for other people who are struggling with this, be able to provide a platform and provide products for people who are struggling with that. And it's been pretty good thus far. It's been pretty good. This year, we working on a lot more things, a lot more pop-up shops, a lot more partnerships and stuff like that. So that's pretty much where I'm at with that. And also me being a social worker and a therapist, providing a more healing and a more comfortable place for people to come to use products to, and I'm working on just a lot of those different things where I can integrate my my therapy side and my social work side, and also like the natural healing component as well too. Yeah, so that's the long-term goal. That's the long-term goal, but the baby steps are in the process right now.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, is those little baby steps.
Absolutely.
And what I'll do, Terrence, for you is put the links to T-Raw Naturals too in the show notes so people can go check it
for
out.
Sure.
But
thank
I love that. I didn't know that about you. That's cool.
Yeah, that's yeah, that's where I'm at right now with everything. Mm-hmm.
So what made you want to become a psychotherapist?
So first of all, I did not want to be a therapist at all. more so my perspective on what therapists did, and what social workers did was, one, therapists get in your mind and like tell you a bunch of like stuff. And then social workers, I saw as like baby snatchers, just based on like how I seen social workers growing up and what their role was. So I didn't want to be either or. When I was doing my undergrad, I had my undergrad in criminology. So I was looking to go into law school. And going that route and working with the justice population. But through an honest conversation I had with somebody I look up to, a few people that were therapists and that were social workers and were also Black men in those fields, it made a difference seeing people that look like me in those spaces. Me seeing that helped me get a better understanding of what actually social work is and actually what therapy is as well. This is also before, because I know there's a big push for mental health. So this is like, you know, before like, you know, Instagram was really big. I made that decision before, you know, there was a lot of posts and a lot of people coming out with books about people of color coming out with books about it. So as recently as I'm developing my skill, I'm glad that there's a lot of stigma that's being addressed and erased from mental health period and the people of color obtaining those mental health services. Cause like I said, therapy wasn't something I saw therapy being done, and I was in group therapy, like co-facilitating group therapy sessions. I was like, this is whack. I don't like this. Like, I'm never going to be a therapist. And here I am. Here I am. It's kind of funny. So
what's the difference between like what you saw and what you're creating for people?
So what I saw was by the book, what I saw was not genuine. What I saw was not authentic. What I saw wasn't real to me, and it didn't work, and it was a waste of time. And a second thing was, it was mandated for people to participate too. So that was kind of like my take on therapy, was you have to do it. It's okay. Not like, you know, things that you want to do and that your investment in doing.
Yeah,
so there's a difference.
Normalized.
Yeah, there's a difference between people who are wanting to help and people who are mandated to get the help. It's like, if you don't get the help, then like I said, I work with justice population. So I work with the juvenile population. So if you don't participate in group, you can violate your probation. So it's very, very different. That was my introduction to what therapy was. But once I saw how therapy can be something that, you know, people have a choice and people have a say in how their treatment goes, which is how, you know, therapy should be. Like it's more so client based. It's not based on how the therapist feels about what the plan should be, but more so about what the client and, you know, people who are participating in therapy should be like, you know, driving in the driver's seat, not in the passenger seat. And like the therapist be like the navigation and showing where, what paths to take and what to look out for and stuff like that. So that was kind of like the deciphering fact of like, you know, looking at therapy from those two different lenses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It's cool that you're creating this too, and you're creating your own lane as well, because I do feel like therapy, especially for people of color,
right. It
is very stigmatized, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're supposed to be the strong Black woman or the strong man.
Absolutely.
You're not supposed to go to anyone for help because it's perceived as weak. But at the end of the day, like, we're all human. We all need help. We all need that person to lead us and to guide us. So it's dope that you're allowing the people that you work with to be a part of the experience, because
right
it is very much so their journey as
right
well.
On. Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Thank
I love
you,
that.
Thank you.
And so you said something, you got inspired to get into this realm by Black men who are in the field. So talk to me about that, because I feel like representation is very important.
Absolutely.
For anyone to see. So take us through that. When you were deciding to make that change and you were having those conversations, like seeing them do it, was it something like, okay, I see them do it, now I know that I can too? Or like, what was the other like motivating factor of that?
Well, there was a couple motivating factors. I think when I decided to do it, I was like, about to be 25 or 23. So I was like, you know, I need to, I don't know if it's real or not, but having that quarter life crisis.
And that,
like,
pressure.
Yeah, between 18 and 25. Like, oh, damn, I need to figure my life out because next 25 years, I'm going to be 50. And it's going to be, it was a lot of that. So I was most definitely looking at, and this was kind of big for me, was like, financially, how can I stabilize myself in the field and like what I'm going to get into and making sure that, you know, I'm committing myself into something that I really want to do. Looking at those two factors, because I think financial stability is really important.
Oh, absolutely.
And also like you being able to enjoy what you're doing is important as well. Like if you have both of those, you know, that's kind of a big formula to like happiness.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people get caught up in like, oh, okay, like this makes a lot of money. That's why I didn't decide to go to law school, because I don't like to read and write like that.
Yeah.
And I don't like to argue too much. So I was like, you know what? I took the LSAT and everything. That wasn't my route, but you're saying representation is key. Use myself as an example. Seeing somebody else do it makes it doable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
or like
absolutely.
Seeing somebody else in those shoes doing what you want to do makes it more normalized. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Even a lot of times when we see like other black men not doing so less positive things, like if you see somebody like selling drugs or gang banging, but you see them like driving a really nice car, you see them like, you know, have all these women, and it's kind of like, okay, like I want to be like this person.
Right.
So representation on the negative and positive sides has a big influence on impact on somebody who's not in those spaces yet. And it gives them, for me, it gave me more inspiration on doing something positive and actually helping people instead of, like, you know, doing something I don't want to do. So like I said, seeing them in those spaces and seeing them, being successful and being happy and having conversations with them, it really inspired me to like go get my master's in social work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important to have those mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like too, just especially cause I'm in the personal development industry, is right. like there's not a lot of representation. Mm-hmm. And so when people are preaching love and light this or manifesting that, I'm like, that's great. And I know it's possible, but I know for me personally, like when I don't see someone that looks like me, like talking about those things, it's very hard for me to relate.
Right.
And I had to go through a point where I had to go out and like actually find those people, because it's not mainstream as well. And then so just like seeing those people, it's like we get caught up in our heads and about like what's possible and what's not. But like seeing those people do those things, I'm like, okay, I got to cut that BS excuse. It just becomes so much more real.
Right. Exactly. And just to add on to that too, like it's difficult to be in workspaces, and it's difficult to be in spaces where you're in like work, or like you're going having activities with other people, or like friendships, and you're in these circles, and it's like, you know, people may relate to you, but they don't really understand or been in your shoes, or like, you know, certain little things that, you know, people say or people do, like, you know, being culturally aware of like, you know, what's going on in the, in conversations and stuff like that. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Being the only black male or being the only black woman in spaces. But yeah, so I commend you for that, for like seeking out other people, because community is important.
Yeah.
Like especially like, you know, if you're looking for support, community is very, very important.
Yeah. It was one of those things that was super tough for me, but then I'm like, okay, where are you looking? If you're only looking in one area, of course you're not going to find what you need. It's like you have to shift your own lens and take responsibility to get in those circles. And so for the people who want to make a change and they want to grow, but let's say their circumstances are not so great, right? If they're seeking that change, like what are things that they can do to try to get involved in circles and try to get involved in mentorship? Because like, I know you, like you went to college and like you went to your fraternity, which is like so wild to watch you.
You're not going to talk about that.
But you know, it's just like you kind of like you found your communities of people, right, to relate to. So if you have someone listening who's like, dang, I want to make this change and, you know, I want to do these great things, but like all I see around me is like the hood or like the drug dealers or whatever, like what advice do you have for them?
There's this beautiful thing called the internet, and I'm making it so simple, but there's a lot of material and a lot of people who are looking for people to mentor. On the internet, I mean, there's like 100 black men in LA.
Oh yeah, there's they have that in Long Beach too. Are there different chapters everywhere?
Yeah, there's different ones. So it's okay. it's spread out across the area, and I believe the country as well. So like 100 black men. There's community healing circles that happen throughout Los Angeles. I know more people are listening that's outside of Los Angeles, but I would honestly Google like, you know, black organizations in your area, or like mentorships. There's black culture websites where you can go to and see, and this is for anybody listening, not only black people, like people of the diaspora, Latino, Latina, wherever origin you're from. Like, if you're looking for more people that are looking like you and looking for more support and community, there's spaces out there. It's difficult to find if you're just like driving down the street, but a lot of my network, and I even do, is just on Instagram. Like, I just see people on Instagram, I follow them, I send them a message or get the email and connect with them that way. Like I said, some, like, even, you know, you were talking about earlier, like, you know, even though we haven't seen each other in a while, like, we've seen each other, like, you know, progressing, like, through social media. So I think that's
it's a powerful one way. Tool.
Yeah. Social media is a big tool if you use it the right way. Like, right, it's not just used for taking pictures of your food and like dancing and twerking. You can use it to like connect with people. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, it's a huge
That would be the go-to if anybody's listening, is just to like, you know, utilize your social media, utilize Facebook, Instagram. If Twitter, I know some people still use it. I don't know. I don't use it.
I've never used Twitter. Never learned it.
I use it for my business, and I'd be like, I'm going to stop doing this. This is whack. But yeah, I'll just utilize the internet. Utilize the internet as much as you can. If anybody is listening, I mean, they can follow me on Instagram. It's tstew, MSW, TSTEW, MSW. And I can send you some stuff as well.
I'll put that in the show notes too, for sure, so people can access you as
for
well.
For sure. Absolutely.
Cool. And another source that I use too is called meetup.com. Have you ever heard of that
Meetup? Yeah, I heard of Meetup. I know a lot of people use it for like exercising groups, so that's actually a good one.
Yeah.
There's apps too. Like Meetup is an app too, right? Or
I guess so. Yeah, I guess it's an app too. But I think it's dope because I think they have stuff for everybody. So if you're someone who wants to be a writer, right, you can do like writing workshops or like join book clubs or whatnot. So they have healing spaces on there too. So there's a lot of resources, you guys, to just kind of like get out there and nurture yourself, because there are times where you want to grow and change, but like the people around you aren't going to be with it, and you're going to have to be the one to just do that stuff for yourself. You have to. You absolutely have to. So I do want to talk to you. I know like when we chatted yesterday, so funny stories, Terrence and I actually like misscheduled. So he showed up at my house yesterday, which was all good. It was like an introduction to the episode. So we kind of like chatted on some really cool things. And one of the things that came up was like self-care. And I just want to talk to you because I want to hear about your experience just learning about self-care and integrating that into your own life as a black man. Like what has that journey looked like for you?
Right. So self-care is not something that works for everybody. And let me back up. So it can work for you, but on an individual basis, you have to kind of figure out what works for you.
Yeah, that's
self-care.
What the
show is about.
So what
I mean more so is like, if I say, hey, like exercise 5 times a day, or eat right, or go to the movies once in a while, some people, that's not the self-care. You know what I'm saying? I think more so the importance of self-care is taking care of what's essential. You know what I'm saying? Taking care of yourself, taking care of your bodies, taking care of your mind, taking care of your spirit, taking care of, you know, responsibilities. We talked yesterday and I was like, self-care isn't like neglecting your responsibilities.
Yeah.
I
know, that bypassing.
Yeah.
That.
So a lot of people say like, I'm going to drink a glass of wine and I got all these responsibilities to do. And that's in the name of self-care. Like, that's not self-care.
Yeah.
neglecting your responsibilities is not self-care.
That's avoidance.
It's avoidance. Taking breaks is part of self-care, but it's not like, okay, I'm taking care of myself. It's good to take breaks, but ultimately you got to hop back on it and get back to work. You know what I'm saying? So,
What do you do right now for self-care?
Self-care, I do nothing. Not saying
just
I don't.
Just chill.
I just chill. I might watch TV. I go to the gym when I can once in a while. I have a lot of other hats I do wear. Mm-hmm. So when I get the opportunity just to chill out or just lay, you know, watch TV or listen to music or something like that, that's more so because I'm always going. Sometimes I'm working like 14, 15 days straight because I got two gigs. Yeah, and I got the business on the side too. So like for me, what I do for my self-care is like try not to do nothing. So like on my days off, when the days I do have to work, I have to schedule my self-care in. So, for example, I'll do something in the morning. I'll go to the gym in the morning, or I'll try to meditate in the morning, or I will, when I come home, cook a meal that I enjoy.
Yeah.
So that's part of my self-care. And I think it's very important that people do schedule their self-care before they actually schedule anything else. And
that's
what I mean
big.
By
yeah,
that,
that's
what,
so big.
What I mean by that is when you know you have a busy schedule, you know you have a lot of stuff that's coming up, you know you have a bunch of responsibilities you need to take care of, you have a huge to-do list, the best thing to do is to schedule, okay, when am I going to be able to take care of myself?
Mm-hmm.
Now, self-care doesn't have to be this lavish thing or big thing where it's like, I'm going to go to the nail salon. I'm going to get a manicure.
That's my pet peeve, yeah.
Manicure, pedicure, or you have to spend a lot of money or drink, like go out to the bar, happy hour. It doesn't have to be like super expensive. It doesn't have to be too lavish. It can be something small, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Especially if it's during the week. Because a lot of us, you know, you don't have that time to go to the nail salon, spend like 2 hours there. But it's best to like carve out a little bit of time, maybe during your lunch break or during your before you go to work, to meditate or do something you enjoy. I know in California a lot of people commute to work. Part of self-care can be listening to this podcast or listening to some music, something that you really do enjoy.
Even driving in silence. I find I drive in
silence
a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did that the other day and I was like, dang. And I was home before I knew it. I had a lot of stuff on my mind. I was able to like kind of process. So driving in silence is really good. But going back to your original question too was like self-care as a Black man. Just in general, it's a lot of pressure being a Black man a lot of times. I'm pretty sure, you know, like I said, with the exposure of social media and stuff like that, people are seeing Black men and like more so like our emotional process and what we deal with and what we're going through.
Yeah.
Especially like witnessing like, you know, Black men being killed by the police or Black
what
men.
What is that like for you when you see stuff like
that's
that?
That's super triggering. Yeah. Yeah, that's super triggering. I had a moment when I was in grad school where a lot of that stuff was happening. So I actually had a professor reach out to me, and it was pretty dope. He was like, man, I just want to make sure you're good. And I was like, man, like low-key has been kind of rough because it's been going back to back to back. And it's like, you know, I had my own encounter with the police. Like I tasted a baton before and like been pulled over for no reason. And, you know, all that good stuff. So like to see that and seeing that's a possibility,
it sucks. Yeah,
like,
it scares me having a young Black man raising a child.
Yeah,
you know?
Like my girlfriend, she says all the time, like, we don't call, I feel like you got killed by the police or something happened. Because, like, you know, everybody sees it's a podcast, but I'm 6'2", like 295. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a larger Black male. So like a lot of people just based on that can see like I could look very intimidating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You'll look like a threat, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's very triggering. That's very, very triggering to see that. And sometimes, you know, even in the space where we're talking about self-care and it's like, you know, when those things happen, like what do you do to kind of process?
Yeah,
it?
That was going to be my next question.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's good to talk to people that can relate to you or that look like you that are going through the same thing. I think, you know, internal, like holding stuff in is not healthy.
Right.
Because when you hold stuff in, like just as your emotional response, your emotions are meant to be expressed. Like emotions aren't meant to be held captive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you have emotions and you're holding those things captive, that's when like stress comes. That's when, you know, you may seem cool and on the outside and seem like, oh, I'm optimistic, but like inside you're suffering.
Yeah, you're suffering, or it comes out in the form of addictions.
Absolutely. So even if it's like physical exertion, I know a lot of men, like, you know, we like to throw around the weights or like, you know, get into a boxing class or anything, but if you
women too
I'm just saying we all right, my bad, but no, I'm just saying more ahead. So like we like to resort to more physical things. So yeah. Like if you don't have people to talk to about it, like it's good to like physically let that emotion out, because mm-hmm. you know it's gonna take a toll on you eventually. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's important to process it, even if you feel like, you know, anything you're going through, even if you feel like it maybe affect you, or maybe somebody you love or somebody close to you have noticed that it is bothering you and you're not willing to accept it, it's probably good just to like acknowledge it and work on it.
Yeah.
Because like I said, holding stuff in is not healthy. That is not that is not healthy self-care.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Even writing it down.
Right on
that journaling. Helps me. Yeah, I mm-hmm. have like 3,000 journals,
right?
And I write a lot of stuff,
right?
Because sometimes it's just easy for me to express.
You said 3,000?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was saying, I believe you.
I have more journals than necessary, but it's because I just like to pick them up when I feel like it and write a little bit, because I don't always like just call someone, but like the pen and paper is always there. So sometimes mm-hmm. I write about it, or sometimes I make a poem about it. But that's like just me and like what I do to express as well.
Absolutely.
So for like, because this is my question to you, for Black men, so it's different for women in general, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. when we're struggling and we just want to call up a friend and talk and mm-hmm. be like, hey girl, I just need to share this mm-hmm. with you. Like, what is that like for a Black man? I guess you have to have, do you feel like you have to have like, I don't know. I feel like there's a stigma around that too, mm-hmm. where you just like call up the homie to talk,
yeah,
you know, like.
Yeah, I was going, yeah. So fortunately for me, I have a good circle of male friends mm-hmm. That, you know, I can talk to when stuff is going on. But I do have a lot of friends that don't talk about what's going on. I'll find out stuff like later. I'm like, why the hell you ain't say nothing?
Oh, yeah.
I think for men, it's not like, hey, like, you know.
Do you have a moment?
Crying, call. Like, can we talk, or like what's going on? Generally, since a lot of the times that doesn't work, I would advise on the flip side, since, you know, if it's hard for, you know, people to, men to express their emotions, if you have a friend or you have somebody that you notice their behavior is a lot different, to check in with
them. To open up to
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like, hey, like what's going on?
It's
like,
not being soft. It's caring for another human.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And like men, we heal differently. You know what I'm saying?
Talk
like,
to me about that.
So, Let me put in a different, a more relatable context. So, for example, if a man's going through like a, and I'm just speaking them generally, I'm not speaking every man, and so I don't want anybody to latch on to this and like say
it's your experience.
So like from my experience and what I observe, and what I've gone through too is like, for example, if a man goes through like a breakup and a hard breakup. You know, typically, you know, our healing process is to be promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, you know, getting as much women as we can, having as much sex as we can.
Do you feel like that helps at all though?
So healing is healing. So what I mean by that is, positive or negative, it's more so like still
it's part of the process
and I'm not condoning it, so like I said,
well no, well, like more, this is really interesting to me, because I, you know, I do know a lot of men when they do mm-hmm. exit a relationship that mm-hmm. is exactly what they do.
Yeah,
and so.
It's one of those things where we don't really know how to process what's going on. I think instant gratification is a big part mm-hmm. of it, so like dealing with it by having sex for however many months or whatever it is to get over it with as much women kind of shows like, hey, like, you know, I'm still valid. I'm still good to other women, even though I got dumped.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or I'm still
you're
like
searching for that validation.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, pick up, especially if you got dumped and you got cut off. It's like, damn, like as a man, it sucks. So it's like, I got to revalidate myself by doing that. But also, like I said, healing is healing. So like, for example, if somebody drinks alcohol or smokes or whatever it is, like, you know, it's not a healthy coping skill, but at the end of the day, like, somebody is trying to cope and deal with something. So I have clients that come in and like, you know, very shameful about like, you know, their drug use or their substance use, but I tell them, I was like, ultimately it sounds like he was trying to deal with what was going on by smoking and drinking, right, or absolutely, you know, using substances, because obviously what you're going through wasn't easy. So it's not right. one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, like, let me just go for a walk, or let me just do this, or let me just do that. And again, like we were talking about in communities of color, sometimes those resources aren't there.
Right.
It's easier to crack open a bottle, or roll a blunt, or, you know, take a line, whatever people's fixes is. But
yeah, most people don't have like a family psychiatrist that they can just go to and
exactly.
talk to, you know?
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody. It's like, yeah, as a kid, I just went to a therapist. I said, you seen a therapist as a kid? Damn.
I didn't even know what a therapist was until like, I think in high school.
Right. And I think I seen my introduction to a therapist was, I think, you ever seen, Charlie Brown? I think it was Lucy. She was charging 5 cents for therapy. And Charlie Brown would come through a big, and give him the five cents. That was my introduction. I was like, okay, that's therapy. Somebody, you pay somebody to talk to, or sort of somebody to listen to you. Yeah, like I said, men, we heal a lot differently, and we cope with a lot of different things differently than than women. So I feel like in that, I'll use that as an example, breakup, because that can be really, really hard for men to kind of deal with. And I feel like, you know, that's an easy go to. It's a quick fix, and it reassures that you're validated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a man, until obviously it takes a lot. You know, not going to say a certain age where you stop doing that, or there's a certain time, but it takes like a lot of self-love in order to, like, you know, revalidate yourself, and ensuring that you're not validated through other people, but you validate yourself.
That's big.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
so
big.
It took me a long time to learn that too. Like, I used to care what everybody thinks.
Me too.
I care. And sometimes,
I'm still coming out of that, because I kind of dip in and out of caring and not caring. I think that's a part of human nature too.
Right. And it for me, it's too much work now. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, sometimes I'll just be like, you know what? If you care, if you see it that way, you see it that way, so what? And I just find myself at more peace, or just like not. And obviously I care about, you know, I'm not saying I don't care about a lot of things. I do care about a lot of things.
It's just your energy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't have the energy to go the extra mile.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. So more so like that self-love, and having that you validating yourself, and you giving yourself affirmations.
So what steps did you take to find that self-love?
Man,
they don't have to be in order, but like, what did you start to introduce into your life in order to start to gain that muscle, if you will?
I think because it's recent. So I recently like accepted that. So dang, I did go through my little hoe phase for sure. Because I've been in not a lot of relationships, but majority of my 20s, I was in a lot of relationships. And like, I'm in long-term relationships too. So like, it took me a while to get to where I'm at right now. I'm in a relationship right now, and I'm very, very happy, and I'm very, very committed. I'm very, very glad that I met her. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was just a lot of perceptions of like the acceptance. I think religion had a lot to do with that, like being accepted by, well, not religion, but like me growing up in the church and having to like struggle, like, oh, okay, I need to be perfect, or I need to do this, or I'm going to hell, or that had a lot to do with that. Once I started realizing that, you know, a lot of the stuff maybe in religion, you know, sometimes contradict itself.
Yeah.
And to just love people for who they are, that was a big weight off my shoulders. Like, okay, like if God says love everybody, I'm gonna do that. Easy. Cool.
Yeah.
Instead of like focusing on like hating people and like judging people, and you know, because ultimately what you project is what you see about yourself too.
Right.
So like realizing that, I think that was a big component for that.
That was something I was journaling on the other day. It's just like how we see qualities in people that we don't necessarily like, or we poke at, but then at the end of the day, like we carry out those qualities as well. So like, for this is just an example, like if you call someone and they never answer the phone, and you're like, fuck, like they never answer the phone, but then you got somebody else calling you and you're like, I don't want to talk to them, so you don't answer the phone too. Like it goes so many ways where like you can become that person that they do things that you don't particularly enjoy. So that for me, like it helped kind of like ease up that pressure of like needing to be everything for everyone, and just kind of like seeing people for who they are.
Absolutely.
Especially with friends, like sometimes I'm gonna be up and I'm gonna need to help my homegirl, my homeboy, right. sometimes I'm gonna be down and I'm gonna need them to pull me up too. Absolutely. It's just like that give and take and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's real. And I think going along with one of my, even talking about just self-care, just one of my things is like reevaluating my relationships with everybody. Because I also have to really, I really have to feel validated and cool with everybody.
Okay.
And I realized like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's part of me not giving a fuck too. Because it's like, okay, like I need to do this or I need to go to this event. And then, man, it's just too much. And I'd rather just chill and be able to take care of myself instead of like feeling obligated. You know what I'm saying? And I was feeling obligated to do these things.
Yeah.
If I really honestly and the bottom of my soul don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Right, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It's more so like, there's a lot of things you don't want to do. Sometimes people wake up. I love my job. So like a lot of people wake up and like, oh, I don't want to go to work. But that's like more so, okay, that's you take care of responsibilities. Like you have to go to work in order to pay your bills and stuff like that. But I'm more so talking about feeling obligated to be somewhere at a certain place, time, act a certain way. Do this, like not be yourself,
right? You know what I'm saying? So just like, because you're trying to fit in.
I did
that for a long time.
Time. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes you're only black person in certain spaces,
which is usually me.
Yeah. And it's like, fuck, I gotta act like this. But honestly, me, I'll be like, and that was one thing, I currently left my other job and my supervisor told me like, you know what, I appreciate your authenticity because like you didn't lie about anything, like you was very transparent. I said yeah, because that's there's no reason to lie like about like stuff like I don't like, and I'm gonna speak up on if I don't like it, just so you know, I'll do it, but just so you know, this is where I stand.
You're gonna hear my piece on it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'll you know, for the greater cause. But I know we're kind of going
no it's totally fine. We can go wherever we want to go. Things don't have to stay scripted, but that was kind of me, like that whole idea when I first, like when I really started to dive into my spirituality, I thought that it had to look a certain way. And so I was like, oh, I need to stop dropping F-bombs and I need to dress this way and listen to this music. And it was just too much. I'm like, no, like it's all that much. Stuff is just not me.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And so I had to kind of like peel back that stuff. And in the midst of doing that, I was able to find my voice. And now I feel like I'm more connected to who I am.
Absolutely.
And the beauty in that is like the people who are going to vibe with me are going to vibe with me. And whoever's not, they're just not. And that's okay. Like that is their experience as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very okay to not have a lot of people in your life. Like one of the things my dad told me, and I'll never forget it. He told me, he's like, when it comes to friends or people, I'd rather have 4 quarters and 100 pennies.
Ooh, that's like, good. Y'all hear that?
I'd rather have 4 quarters and 100 pennies because, you know, those 4 people are more solid than 101 sinners. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, like that's how I kind of look at it now. Not saying I throw shade on people or
You just grow apart.
Yeah, dismiss them or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes like people do grow apart.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. There's people that come into your life that are quarters, nickels, dimes, whatever it is. But also just recognizing, you know, where your energy is being put. You know what I'm saying? If your energy is being put in something in a group of people that isn't in alignment with your ultimate goals and what you're trying to do and supporting you, then you might want to reevaluate those relationships.
Pennies, y'all.
Yeah, those are pennies. I'm not saying, you know, a penny's still a penny and 100 pennies is still a dollar, but still recognizing that, you know, that is those people are pennies and
right now.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that they might not become quarters in your life later on, but as for right now, you know, sometimes you got to distance yourself and there's no love lost.
Absolutely. And this is not, and the thing is too, like when I mean distancing and like having these 4 quarters, it's not necessarily like, okay, I'm going through my friends list. I'm unfollowing people or I'm doing this.
Yeah,
even I do that sometime because it's like whatever, but it's more so like as I'm developing, looking at my space and seeing where I'm at, you know what I'm saying? If I'm growing and I see other people who may not be growing, it's not saying dismiss them. It's like, you know, maybe lift them up with you. Or, you know, just reevaluate where you put your energy. You know what I'm saying?
Because how much time you spend with
exactly,
them too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, and like I said, I'll just use this as an example. Like the how I am right now, I probably would have not hung out with myself when I was 20.
I don't know anybody who would.
Yeah. I would not hang out with myself.
So dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah. But like I said, that's just going with growing. That just goes with growing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as you should, as you kind of evolve and we're talking about self-care, too, like, you know, as you evolve, your self-care is going to evolve with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not going to be like, I'm going to go to the gym Monday, Friday, whatever days you set to go to the gym, or I'm going to meditate every day or whatever it is. Sometimes when your needs change and you grow, your expectations change for yourself, your self-care
you
is
going to pivot.
Exactly. The way you the way you take care of yourself is going to change too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just, that's just us as humans. Like we are developed to evolve. We're not developed to stay the same. You know what I'm saying? Like if we're developed to stay the same, we'll still be infants.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like our bodies change, our mindset changes, our spirit changes, everything changes about us. And like, you know, as that goes on, like everything around us and our environments change with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
A lot of times people get caught up in
routines too.
Caught up in the routines, the hype, the fad, the environment they're in, and don't allow themselves to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's huge.
So you have to step outside. Sometimes you got to step outside yourself to grow.
I feel like you always have to.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You always have to step outside of what you think is possible or what is normal for you. Mm-hmm. And that is how I am with this show. Cause like, you know me, I'm pretty quiet in the background and I'm trying to change that story and be more vocal and just like bring dope conversations to the forefront. So like this whole setup right here is a part of my growth too.
Right.
And I love it. And it's self-care as well. Cause I'm putting time and energy into something
absolutely.
I love too. So.
Absolutely.
For you guys, like just going back to what you said earlier, like scheduling self-care into your day is just so important and it's so vital. And especially like if you want to make time to meditate, like you don't need a full blown 30 minutes to do it. Like sometimes for me, meditation is like taking a walk, or meditation is just sitting in my car and just taking like a maybe like 3 to 5 minutes or whatever to just like sit in silence and breathe. Or, you know, you guys, like I truly encourage you to sit down and just think about all the things that bring you joy. And that's like a perfect starting point if you are looking for more self-care. Like what brings you joy, or what are the things that you want to do? What do you want to create? And then slowly start to seed that into your day, schedule it into your day. You know, it's so attainable for everyone. And self-care, it doesn't have to be like what is presented in the media. It's something that you can very much so like shift and change and integrate into your own life and let it look the way you want it to. And just make it like so easy for you to just take those moments to like really appreciate life and appreciate yourself. Sometimes self-care is like staring and looking at yourself in the mirror and be like, damn, you've come a long way. And I'm so proud of you. You know, it's just like those little things, the way you speak to yourself and others, it can evolve in so many ways. So, oh, that was a word, Terrence. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. I appreciate the love and I appreciate the support. And yeah, you're going places with this for sure. So keep at it.
Thank you.
Keep
thank
at
you.
It, most definitely.
I appreciate it. You guys make sure that you follow Terrence. I'll put his links in the show notes. He's got like some really cool stuff on his Instagram. Make sure you check out his T-Raw line. I hope that you continue to like grow and evolve in that too. And I hope you expand it because the ladies need some love too.
Oh, nah, we got two products for the ladies. We got the hair and body butter and the hair scent.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we launched those like, about a month and a half ago.
What? Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm so, slipping then. I'm going to put in my order.
Yeah, we showing love. And we know there's no discriminating. You know what I mean?
I love it. And I love that it's natural too. So thank you once again for coming through. Thank you so much for listening into the Everyday Intentions podcast. We will catch you next week. Take care. Thank you.